Everybody wants joy. Everybody wants joy. You want joy. I want joy. And we search for joy in all kinds of places, don't we? We search for joy in a boyfriend or girlfriend. We try to find joy in a pursuit of wealth. We try to find joy in a pursuit of material possessions. We try to find joy in a pursuit of pleasures of every kind. Pursuing joy in this way is a chasing after wind. Please stand with me as we read this morning's passage. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart, soften your heart? Pray right now that God would give you a humble heart, a trusting heart, that God would make you good soil for His Word, that the Word of God would go down deep and bear fruit in your life, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Will you pray right now for the other people in this room? That God would open their hearts, soften their hearts, and make them good soil for the Word, that the Word of God would go down deep and bear fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. Would you pray now for me that I would preach this sermon accurately and therefore powerfully? Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we thank you so much that your word is your spoken word. We thank you so much that this book changes our lives. We thank you so much for these beautiful words, and we pray that these beautiful words would go into our hearts and renew our minds and transform our hearts and make us the people you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. If you're new to Trinity Baptist, and I see some of you are, you're probably expecting us to go verse by verse through the entire passage that we've read. And we have been doing that for several weeks now. We started from verse 16, and we moved to 17, and then 18. We've been going slowly through the passage for several weeks. We are now at the fruit of the Spirit, and we're going to deal with the topic of joy today. Yes, last week, rather, we saw the fruit of the Spirit is love, and today the fruit of the Spirit is joy. In Greek, there is a beautiful root word. It's a root word. It's three letters that other words are built upon. It is pronounced kar. Kar. It's a Greek root word that other words are built upon. And this root word kar means things that produce well-being. Things that produce well-being. There's beautiful, beautiful Greek words built upon this word, kar. Charizomai. Charizomai is the Greek word forgiven. Things that produce well-being. Charisma, also built on kar, is the word gift. Things that produce well-being. Charis. Charis is the Greek word grace. Things that produce well-being. And our beautiful, beautiful word today we'll be looking at is kara. Joy. Joy. In your notes, number one, joy comes from God. Joy comes from God. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What a great prayer. Do you see that behind me on the screen? Again, if you're new to Trinity, and I see some of you are, generally when I read a scripture, you don't have to just listen along because it's going to be behind me on the screen. And if it's not behind me on the screen, actually they're all behind me on the screen, but sometimes I'll ask you to turn somewhere with me. Isn't that a great, great prayer? Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Joy comes from God. Jesus brought joy to the world when he came. Amen? Look behind me. Luke 1:14. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Talking about Jesus. Jesus wants to bring you joy. And I want you to get that, because the temptation a lot of time of sin, we all want joy. We all want joy. And the problem that we all face and the mistake that we all make is we look for joy in the opposite direction of God. And that's a terrible mistake. Jesus came into this world to bring us joy. Look at John 16:24. Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. Jesus came into the world and taught us so that his joy would be in us. He taught us what he taught us so that his joy would be in us. John 17:13, behind me. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. Jesus says, the reason I'm teaching you this stuff is so that my joy will be in you. Praise God. As we said, everybody wants joy. I want joy. You want joy. People try to find joy in a boyfriend or a girlfriend, try to find joy in the pursuit of wealth, the pursuit of material possessions. We try to find joy in the pursuit of pleasure of every kind. And pursuing joy in that way is chasing after the wind. Joy comes from God. Please join me in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John 15, if you have it in front of you, otherwise it's behind me on the screen. Listen to these amazing words of Jesus Christ. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, says Jesus, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Beautiful, beautiful word picture. This is one of the reasons I go on prayer walks, is because I'm reading, and I'm out in nature, and I can just see it. There's characters, right? Jesus is the tree, or it says the vine here, and we are the branches, and the Father is the gardener. Look at verse 5. I am the vine, or the tree. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That makes sense, doesn't it? That makes perfect sense. I don't know a lot about gardening, but I do know that if I have a tree and it's bearing fruit and I separate the branch from the trunk and throw it on the ground, it's not going to bear anymore. Verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Verse 9, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And now look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full. Everyone wants joy. You want joy, I want joy, and we all search for joy in things that will not bring us joy ultimately. Jesus Christ is the source of spiritual life. He is the bread of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Number 2 in your notes, joy is the result of abiding in Christ. Joy is the result of abiding in Christ. Don't look for it any other place. Joy is the result of trusting and obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. In your notes, number 3, joy is the result of a master-servant relationship with Christ the Lord. Joy is the result of a master-servant relationship with Christ the Lord. Where are you seeking joy? What are you doing to get it? We all want it. We're all seeking it. Where are you looking for it? So often people will seek joy in the opposite direction of Christ. And often our pursuit of joy will lead us to compromise with the world, will lead us to fall into temptation, will lead us into sin. And we need to realize that joy is the result of abiding in Christ. Joy and the Holy Spirit go together. Look at Acts 13:52. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:17 is even clearer. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy and the Holy Spirit go together. Why do you and I seek joy anywhere else? Next in your notes. The Holy Spirit fills your heart with joy and enables you to rejoice. The Holy Spirit fills your heart with joy and enables you to rejoice. What do we rejoice over as Christians? What do we rejoice over? Next in your notes, we are filled with joy over our salvation. We are filled with joy over our salvation. Colossians 1, 9 through 12 behind me. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. This is our primary reason to rejoice. Amen? We are children of God. Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He says this powerful statement in Luke chapter 10. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. We rejoice because we are saved. Next in your notes, the joy of the Holy Spirit does not depend on circumstances. The joy of the Holy Spirit does not depend on circumstances. The joy of the world comes and goes, right? You seek joy in the world, and if things are going well, you will have counterfeit joy. And if things are not going well, it all comes crashing down. But the joy of the Holy Spirit does not depend on circumstances. Paul has a lot to say about joy in the book of 2 Corinthians. Please join me in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The joy of the world is counterfeit. The joy of the world is fragile and brief. The joy of the world is fragile and brief. Look what Paul says. 2 Corinthians 6:4. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love. In the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left. By glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers, yet true, as unknown, yet well known, as dying, yet behold, we live, as punished, yet not put to death, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Amen? As poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Paul says he is sorrowful, yet he is always rejoicing. This is the Apostle Paul, who suffered so much for Jesus Christ. He suffered so much. His circumstances were horrible, yet he says, always rejoicing. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. And he gives us this command behind me in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. How can Paul rejoice in his beatings, in his sufferings, in sleepless nights, in hunger, in being in prison, all that he suffered for Christ? How can he rejoice always? The answer is, Paul, you and I can rejoice in any and all circumstances because the Holy Spirit fills our hearts with joy. As Christians, we rejoice in our trials. We rejoice in our trials. That's number 7. We rejoice in our trials. James 1, 2 through 4 behind me. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Why? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Paul also in 2 Corinthians talks about joy in affliction. In chapter 8, he talks about people that overflowed with joy in great tribulation. Look at what he says in 1 Thessalonians 1:6 behind me on the screen. You also, that's the Thessalonians, became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Do you want joy? Don't look for it any other place than Christ. Abide in Christ, serve Christ, love Christ, obey Christ, surrender to Christ, allow the Holy Spirit of God to be the controlling influence in your life, and the result is joy. Next one in your notes. Number 8, as Christians, we rejoice when we suffer for Christ. We rejoice when we suffer for Christ. 1 Peter 4:13 behind me, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. We rejoice when we suffer for Christ. We see this in Acts chapter 5, verse 40. By the way, Chrissy, go back one, please. The Bible all flows together, which is why I always encourage you over and over again, read it cover to cover. Read it cover to cover. It amazingly ties together. If you've read Paul's epistles, you can read the book of Acts and say, oh yeah, he talked about that here, and he talked about that here. Or you read the book of Acts, and then you read Paul's epistles, and you say, oh, he must have been doing this, or he must have been in this city, or he must have been in that city. It all ties together, and the more you read the Bible cover to cover over and over and over again, the more each book sheds light on all the other books. And your comprehension of the Word of God just flows and flows and builds more and more momentum as you read it over and over and over again. This is an example. 1 Peter 4:13, we saw it again. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. What does that look like, Peter? What does that look like? We see it in Acts 5:40, they took his advice, and after calling the apostles in, they flogged them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and then released them. They went on their way. They beat them, brothers and sisters. The apostles, they beat them. 41, they went out on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Next in your notes. Number 9, we rejoice because of our heavenly reward. Amen? We rejoice because of our heavenly reward. Luke 6:22-23, behind me. Blessed are you when men hate you. Blessed are you, Trinity Baptist, when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Be glad in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way their fathers used to treat the prophets. Hebrews 10:32, behind me. But remember the former days when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. You showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Hallelujah. You can understand the Bible if you understand this. The New Testament was written by persecuted Christians for persecuted Christians. Next in your notes, we rejoice when others repent of their sin. Paul rejoiced over this. 2 Corinthians 7:9, I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians, and he heard that they had repented, and he said, I rejoice. Next in your notes, we are filled with joy when the gospel spreads. We are filled with joy when the gospel spreads. Philippians 1:18, behind me on the screen. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Next in your notes, we are filled with joy when people put their faith in Christ. We are filled with joy when people put their faith in Christ. Next in your notes, we are filled with joy when we see others growing in Christ and obeying the Lord. Romans 16:19, behind me. For the report of your obedience has reached to all, therefore I am rejoicing over you. But I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. My dad, when he was still alive, wrote me a lot of letters. I cherish those letters. I cherish them. I have them in a notebook in my house. They're all handwritten on one of those Office Depot yellow pads. I cherish them. And the one I remember most is signed, Love, Dad, 3 John 4. Love, Dad. 3 John 4. Look at 3 John 4. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in truth. We are filled with joy when we see others growing in Christ and obeying the Lord. Next in your notes, the ultimate example of joy is our Lord Jesus Christ. And I missed Colossians, thank you. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Heaven rejoices when people repent. Heaven rejoices when people come to know the Lord Jesus. Luke 15:7, I tell you that in the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Isn't that awesome? It's awesome to think that you and I rejoice when someone comes to know Christ and heaven is rejoicing with us. Now in your notes, 14, the ultimate example of joy is our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this incredible statement in Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Christian brother, Christian sister, our greatest joy is in the future. Our greatest joy is in the future. Jesus makes this powerful statement in John chapter 16. Would you turn there with me, please? John chapter 16. John 16, 19. Jesus knew that they were wishing to ask or to question him, and he said to them, are you deliberating together about this? That I said, a little while and you'll not see me, and again a little while and you'll see me. Truly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned to joy. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too, listen, Trinity, life is hard, isn't it? Life is hard. My life is hard. Your life is hard. Life is hard. It is full of trials and tribulations. Look at verse 22. Therefore, you too, Trinity Baptist, have grief now, but I will see you again, Jesus, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away. Amen. Awesome. We weep now, but when Jesus comes back, we will have complete and total joy. And no one will ever take it away. I'm going to stop right here. Just for a few moments. I'm not through yet. I'm almost through. Maybe you're here this morning and you are not born again. You will never experience this joy. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And if you are not born again, the Holy Spirit does not live inside your heart. You are that branch disconnected from the tree, and you cannot experience that joy. You must be born again. You must be born again. You have fallen short of the glory of God, and so have I. We are all sinful people. We have all fallen short of God's glory. We have all had evil thoughts in our hearts. We have all said evil words. We have all done evil things. And the Bible says that the punishment for even one of those things is death, eternal condemnation away from the presence of the Lord. But we celebrated communion today. The bread symbolizing his body, the cup symbolizing his blood, because when Jesus died on the cross, he took all of my punishment for all my evil thoughts, all my evil words, all my evil actions. And if I will put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I will be forgiven for all of my sins, and the Spirit of God will come to live in my heart, and I can experience joy. Would you please come and talk to one of the elders if you have not been born again? Jesus is coming back. And on that day, all of us that are born again will rejoice, and no one will ever take our joy away. But if you are not born again, the day Jesus comes back is when you will weep. Let's close with Revelation chapter 19. Would you turn there, please? Revelation 19. John, in the book of Revelation, has just talked about the end times. He's gone through the whole book, going through in detail how God finally pours out his wrath on the earth for all of the sin. And when all of that is done, we have this in verse 19. I'm sorry, Revelation 19, verse 1. After these things, I heard something like a loud voice and a great multitude in heaven saying, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because his judgments are true and righteous, for he has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality. And he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her." This is what I'm talking about when I say, if you read the Bible cover to cover, each page shines light on all the other pages. Romans 12, Paul says, "Do not take your own revenge, but leave room for the wrath of God, for vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." You look at that and you go, what is that all about? And then you read Revelation and you go, oh, now that makes sense. And a second time they said, "Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever." And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God who sits on the throne, saying, "Amen! Hallelujah!" And a voice came from the throne saying, "Give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great." Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." When Jesus returns, we will rejoice and no one will take our joy away. Where are you looking for joy? Where are you looking for joy? A boyfriend? A girlfriend? Money? Possessions? Pleasure? Pleasures of any kind. How are you pursuing joy? Joy is the result of the Holy Spirit. Joy is the result of the Holy Spirit working in my life. Last one in your notes, number 16. Joy comes from surrendering to the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to be the controlling influence in my life. How are you pursuing joy? This is such a wonderful passage, this Galatians 5. We have the trash can up here, and it describes all those things that are trash. And my heart goes out to those of you in this room who are pursuing joy, and it is leading you to sexual immorality, impurity, evil desires, greed, dissensions, factions, and all of the things that are trash. My heart goes out to you because I know you are going exactly the wrong way. You are pursuing a dead end, and you will never get the joy you're looking for. Repent. Turn around. Turn around. Think of Christianity like a pool. Don't just dabble your feet in the water and then get out and dabble it in and get out and dabble it in and get out. Oh, brothers and sisters of Trinity Baptist, take a flying leap into Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much that as the song says, we trade our sorrows for the joy of the Lord. It didn't have to be that way. But you are so good and you are so loving and you are so kind. That you give us joy. Please help us to trust you. Please help us to obey you. I pray for that brother and sister in this room right now that just wants the pursuit of happiness. And is struggling in their decision. Will I surrender to Christ completely? Or will I continue my pursuit? Oh God, give us all the strength to surrender completely to you. In Jesus' name, amen.